Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. This is Ann Ortley, and every week I and two of my astrologer friends, Heather Roan Robbins and Mark Woltz, who will be with us in a second, join, and we get together and we talk about what's going on in the heavens and how it can feel in your life. So I'm Ann. I live on the Upper East Side, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk, and I'm joined tonight by...
This is Heather Roan Robbins speaking to you from the Canadian border in North Dakota, right at the edge of a field full of buffalo.
Wow. Very good. Sounds a lot better than living up on the side of my bright red desk. A field full of buffalo.
Right here, right now, on a Saturday night, I miss that east side, that Upper East Side. I miss all of New York.
I know, but buffalo.
Thank you for being there.
All right. And then we're also joined by?
Mark Woltz over on the west side of Manhattan, overlooking the Hudson River. Well, not quite overlooking it. You got to scramble through a couple blocks of debris.
But then you can look at it, right?
Yeah.
So that's cool. All right. And we're here today is the week of November 2nd. We are officially in fall. Yay. And we're going to be talking a little bit about what the weather looks like, what how it feels cosmologically, how you can work with it, and then, of course, we always take callers. So if you want to call in with to the radio show in a little bit, we'll be taking callers and asking you to share your stories, and we'll try and give you some astrological advice. So what do you guys notice about the week ahead?
What's the number on calling in?
I'm pulling it up now. Hang on. I don't have it right in front of me, but I should know it.
What I've noticed today, I certainly felt that full moon.
Yeah.
And today, the full moon was close to, it was squaring Mars and squaring, touching into the Jupiter edge. Not quite, wasn't quite an exact grand square, but that T-square was a doozy. And I could feel that fixed, solid energy. Whatever I began, continued. It was a good momentum once someone got going. But I could feel that that stubbornness, that sticking their feet in, listening to the politics. I'm just hearing people entrench. I feel tomorrow's election will be all about, who you're voting against and not who you're voting for. It just feels like this deep entrenchment. I know, thank goodness, with this T-square in fixed signs, we still have Venus in Libra, softening it, making people being a little bit more tactful in person and friendly and a little less difficult. But I feel that Scorpio tends to work behind the scenes rather than direct confrontation. It's more about, the spy wars than the direct wars. But it's been, I can feel that intensity this week.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it, giving us a little break as the moon heads into Gemini, but I'm enjoying the tactility of it, and I see all my animals are cozier than usual because when the moon goes into Taurus, all the animals want to be curled up in my lap and get pet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I feel the warmth of the sweaters coming out and the coziness of winter digging in. That's one of the advantages of that full moon in Taurus.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
Well, I think I've kind of noticed it in the sense of the weekend was kind of wild because of the the lovely Aries planets and then the Chiron station. It kind of talks about, this whole energy of, moving forward and getting ready to kind of take things and move and shift and change. So I'm looking at it and saying, wow, this whole shifting energy, because Chiron station Saturday and then on Wednesday this week Neptune stations to go direct. So the two of them both pausing within a few days of each other gives us kind of this energy where we're in the middle. We're in the middle point between, I'm ready to kind of move them forward and I'm ready to kind of give a new direction, but I don't really know which way I'm going yet. So it's this whole energy of, gee, do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? It feels very bouncy back and forth energy to me, And then, I noticed the Venus is trining a gang of three, so there's a lot of energy about those guys all kind of shifting and moving directions too. So it's because she's talking to them and saying, okay, so what are we going to do? What's the new vision? Where are we heading?
She is. She's right on there.
Yeah, she's right on there. So I kind of was looking at that and thinking, ooh, I like that little. And then at the end of the week, of course, Venus goes into Scorpio. So I'm going to have my Venus return. I always love my Venus return. So So that's kind of fun.
It is a lovely time.
Yes, yes, yes.
No, I guess.
Yeah.
And great time to invest in yourself in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this lineup with the Venus trine, I am hearing progress on the health care bill,
mm-hmm.
which I'm watching very carefully with the Jupiter Chiron Neptune conjunction. And with Venus trining in, there's a little bit more cooperation at the moment, but I still feel that partisan sticking their heels in around the edges. But that trining, the healing of the heart, the healing of relationships, as with Venus in Libra forming that trine, if we can look at, I'm hearing from a couple of clients this week, very in-depth work, whether someone's in therapy or they just found, one person found the journal from their mother and understands why she left, and all these way ancient splinters that are just coming out and the healing happening, or just a change in behavior understanding that allows the family dynamics to shift. I'm very gentle. And that's such the soft undercurrent when we can let go of that fixed sign stubbornness. Underneath that is this capacity to heal if we're willing to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And do it now before Venus hits into Scorpio, because you may have a Venus return with it, and it's great for anybody doing any kind of solitary retreat, but it can put pressure on relationships if they're not in good shape beforehand.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's really good to speak, to do all the healing, and get your relationship in good shape now.
Yeah, for this week ahead. Mark, what are you noticing about the week ahead?
Well, the only thing I didn't hear you guys mention so far is the Mercury conjuncting the Sun coming up on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be in Scorpio, of course. And, you know, that we get that happening in Scorpio now. And it's whenever you have Mercury in Scorpio, which, you know, we've gotten a flavor of that, there's always that intensity, and this one where we always look for secrets coming out, right? And when Mercury conjuncts the Sun, it really pulls a lot of things together. So I think there'll be some themes around that where it comes a couple days after the elections. I won't be surprised to see if there's something brought out by the elections, sort of a little aftermath. Because, you know, when the pressure lets up, like everybody is right up to the end of the voting, there's pressure on the part of everybody who wants to win the election. And then when it's decided, there's like a big, I don't know, the steam goes off it, right? And other things come out. So I'll be curious to see how that plays out.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, because the election, I think they were making some noise about, you know, it being a referendum on Obama, even though he hasn't even been in office a whole year. I mean, he's like, do we have to have a referendum already? I mean, what are we referending here? But yeah, it was kind of. I've got actually a couple friends who are running for office, which I thought was interesting because I've never had that before. So it's kind of like, oh, cool. So we'll see how that turns out. You know, if they win or not, and hopefully they do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's an interesting process. In New York, we have, you know, Mayor Bloomberg kind of took over, decided he wasn't going to listen to the rest of us say no term limits are good. And I'm curious to see, you know, like how much he wins by or if people show up, you know, because a lot of people I know are like, I'm not going to vote for him. He took over term limits. So I'm curious
right.
to see what will happen with that one. But yeah. Well, what do you think about the other aspects in the sky?
Okay.
I just
want to check and see if there's anybody else on the phone yet. Do we have any callers?
We didn't give the phone number out yet. 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. So we'll wait for some callers and see if we get somebody calling in. So cool. Yeah, so like just in general, because, yeah, we talked, Heather and I talked about him, but what did you see? Anything else that struck you?
Let's see. Well, the Venus playing around with the Uranus and Neptune,
mm-hmm.
in good ways, I think that is the, coming from Libra for that. Mm-hmm. You know,
Venus playing around in with anybody is kind of a nice.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, I think it's a good time. You know, there is that sense. It's at the end of Libra, so use it before Venus goes on to Scorpio, because Venus Scorpio there is that intensity, and you know, a lot of digging deep, and a lot of feeling to it, but not always the happiest feeling. You know, depends. Can be or not, but you know, like it's either
good time to have new smart therapy.
Yeah, yeah, it's like intensely happy or intensely unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, it wants to know why and have more of it. You know, Scorpio has that way of just being very tenacious. But whatever it is, there's no simple answer. It'll be, you know, looked into.
Mm-hmm.
But before Venus goes into Scorpio, that's when we get the trine to Neptune and that's always, I always like to see Venus Neptune things, because it really, you know, Neptune is really a higher order of Venus, and represents kind of the collective sense of Venus, and when they trine like that, that usually brings out something in terms of art and aesthetics. So I would expect to see something. I wonder if there are any films coming out.
I also see sometimes it can help us like our spiritual life. And then with Venus trining Neptune, I think there's a real longing to love, you know, love the one, to have a spiritual life. For people who don't have a spiritual life, they may love their escapist tendencies or whatever, you know, and their spiritual life. Someone said, I don't have a spiritual life. I just like to walk in nature. Well, that's your spiritual life. That's where you feel connected.
Right,
and
connected to the force of life,
One of my favorite definitions that a Unitarian minister once gave me, who said he was atheistic. And I said, that's an interesting conundrum. How do you put those pieces together? He said, well, to me, spirituality is about creating connection to each other, to community, or to how you perceive spirit. I said, and spiritual pain is feeling separate, and that anything that you can do as a pastoral counselor about helping someone feel connected honors their and helps their spiritual pain. And so I see whenever I see a Neptune transit like this, a nice trine, Venus trine, Neptune is something that allows us to feel connected. If we leave the Scorpio, you know, you want to go off and eat worms attitude long enough to reach out and feel that connection. If we don't feel like feeling connected to people, because sometimes with this lineup in Scorpio, people just, you know, are just doing the darndest things and they're just being contrary for the sake of being contrary. But, you know, the sharp-ass sense of humor can be very funny with Mercury in Scorpio, but it's not exactly conducive to cuddly new friendships.
Right.
Unless it's based on sarcastic humor. But underneath that is a heart connection and is a soul connection. And that's what I see that Venus trine to Neptune is allowing us, if we choose to reach it. Trines never force us, but they encourage us to reach into that sense of connection this week if we'd like to.
Right. And I found, you know, I went this weekend, there's an exhibit in the city, Jung's Red Book, and he had apparently written it when he had like a psychotic break, for lack of a better word, and went looking for his soul and found it, you know. And I think, I always think of Neptune station days. I always like them, you know, because it tends to be a day when there's not a lot of busyness. And I sit very quietly. It's one of my favorite, you know, once I realized what Neptune was all about, I'm like, oh, this is the day I'm supposed to sit quietly and meditate on my life and my spiritual path. You know, and spiritual path kind of always sounds a little like, oh, my spiritual path. No, it's just like, well, what does my soul want to talk to me about today? You know, how do I connect into that inner part of me that most of the time I'm too busy running around doing things and not listening to? And so I think of Neptune as being that ability to connect. And and how we connect, because wherever Neptune is in our chart is where we call our God, or what we find the divine in. So when we go, oh, that my Neptune's in this, that's where I find God. It's kind of like that's your God. So this mm-hmm. is a day, as Neptune stations on Wednesday, the day before and the day after, we're all going to be getting in touch with what we think of as the divine in our own lives, or the divine is going to be trying to speak to us on some level. And divine can be, you know, a tree. It doesn't have to be, you know, God talking to you from a bush, but it's that connecting into source, you know, that we're all part of the same planet. We're all connected on some level. We're all interconnected. And that interconnection energy always seems to be a little more vibrant and alive on the days of Neptune stations. So I happen to like Neptune because, you know, it's like usually a quiet day. You get a lot of opportunity mm-hmm. to sit and think and figure out, well, okay, here I am at this point in my life, and am I happy with my life? Do I like it? What part needs to be adjusted? What part of my soul isn't being heard right now? Or what does my soul want to tell me I need to add a little extra of so that I can feel connected more fully to source, to life, to vibrancy? I like that image, Heather, with, you know, it's like people feeling unconnected is missing the connection to
mm-hmm.
whatever gives a greater purpose. So,
right.
And in these days when, you know, the purpose, you know, your purpose was, oh, I'm going to make a lot of money, or, oh, my purpose is this. It's like, no, those purposes really don't really work anymore. You know, what's your new purpose?
No.
That's not a bad purpose to have, but in the meantime, you know, you need to maybe have one that you can
do.
Yeah.
Right. That's the karmic, you know, our work and what calls us out there is the karmic soup by which we bump souls with one another and figure out and work through our karma. So we're just doing our work. But I do find that Neptune stations can ask us to take a look at how we are we being realistic? I mean, the other sides of it can be, if we're not being realistic, suddenly the veil gets ripped away from us and we begin to wake up. And we may be facing some harsher realities if we are waking up, if we have noticed that we've been buzzing out or escaping. I find that when Neptune is stationary, we do get all a little sleepy and fuzzy. With Mercury combust with the sun, our minds may not, you know, are very sharp, but will phase in and out. And Scorpio is very good also with the Mercury in Scorpio at doing excellent work with what we're concentrating on, but missing what's 1 foot over from that. So right now, our peripheral vision of our mind, we may be losing track, doing a very good job on what we're focusing on and losing track of some of the details in our life. If we've lost too many details, like we forgot to pay, the electricity bill or something, when Mercury, at the end of this week, on the 6th and the 7th, Mercury semi-squares Saturn and Pluto, it will may be a wake-up call. Some tough news or tough examples. While the moon heads into Cancer and people's self-protective qualities are coming up. So the 6th and 7th, I think it's really important that people watch their defenses. Their defenses are going to be working overtime. And with the sun in Scorpio and the moon in Cancer, I think of that as sort of a cross between a crab and a scorpion. Both are exoskeletons. Both are soft and squishy on the inside. Both are hard with claws and, you know, stingy things. And with Mercury making those two tough aspects to Saturn and Pluto, the mind can be a defensive genius this weekend. But it may not be so comfortable in stepping into its intuition in a good way. Our intuition can pick up on everything that's wrong, but it's a little hard to pick up on what's right this weekend. Then Venus heads into Scorpio, and this lineup in Scorpio can bring up our most primitive emotions. Even if we think we're above and beyond jealousy, possessiveness, acquisitiveness, we have to coast through them to get out the other side. Scorpio can transcend that powerfully, but it usually has to bring them up first before it. It makes us conscious of them, where those really primitive emotions can sit in us. So even the most exalted, you know, rarefied person who thinks they're above and beyond all anger will find themselves getting angry this week. And if we can own it rather than pretend that it doesn't exist and wonder why we're getting a terrible stomach ache or our immune system's not working, to make sure that our primitive feelings are not shadow, that we own them, we see them, we say, thank you for sharing, oh lizard brain, but I don't have to go there. You know, I may want to hit this person over the head, but I don't have to. You know, I may want to say something mean, but because I care, I'm not going to. But it's also very important right now, if you see someone mumble and then you say, what'd you say? And they go, nothing. To let them walk away. Don't
ask them what they really
nothing,
said because you really don't want
right.
to hear it.
You really don't want to hear it. And saying nothing and grumbling and walking away may be as best as they can do right now.
And
so,
it may be all you really want to hear from them, too. You may not
really,
want to hear all that other
hear.
Stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. So
got
to let them have that room.
They're in the mood to be a little grumpy. Yeah.
So next week when the moon heads into Gemini and Mercury squares Jupiter, we'll get more of the rest of the story. We'll get more of the communication. And moon heads into Leo. We'll be getting more of our communication. We'll be finding out, you know, what people are grumbling about. They'll tell us next week. This week, really let them be if they don't want to talk.
Yeah. I've had a lot of hysterical phone calls this last couple days, too, where people have just been very, very upset. And I think that's a combination, if that's happening in your life, listener, it's a combination of the Chiron and the whole sense of, you know, I worked really hard, I did all this stuff, and you really need to parse, like, if it's yours or if it's theirs. And a lot of times what you're reacting to is a very old thing, that it's got nothing to do with what you've done. It's their story, but their story is kind of dovetailing into your story, so you feel personally picked on. And it's not really, that's not really what's going on, but it's hard to discern that when you're in the midst of it. That, you know, their story matching yours so beautifully, you know, makes you go, you know, they must be doing this on purpose. It's like, no, that's just their story. Their craziness links with your craziness. And right now, your chart's really sensitive. Their chart's really sensitive. And everybody's kind of walking around, you know, just kind of, we all need to have large buttons in front of our stomachs that pat us and say, no, you can't come in and punch me in the stomach today. Because the energy's a little bit, it's not, I don't think it's bad in the sense of, like, hostile, mean energy, but sometimes we're just more sensitive. And I think we forget how porous Neptune makes us, especially when it stops,
yes.
and how sensitive we are to hearing things that maybe we weren't, that maybe really weren't said. So that's the other part, is that you can be more sensitive to how things are said or what people actually do say. So it's kind of an interesting mix. So we have a caller, so let me answer the caller and see who they are. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello, yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Hi,
yes.
How are you?
Hi. Well, my birthday is August 30th, 1961,
okay.
in Athens, Greece, and I don't have a birth time.
Okay.
And that's
okay, August 30th, 19, what year was that again?
61. Yes.
Okay.
And since Mars...
And you don't...
I don't have a
birth time. Do you remember anything like morning, noon, or night?
I was adopted. I have no information.
Okay. We'll go for noon then. It's going to be 12 hours off.
Since Saturn went into Libra, things have actually been worse for me. Since it left my sign.
Well, yes, but there was so many other aspects going on at the same time, and that it's hard to tell. Saturn, you have your Mars in Libra natally, so Saturn's coming up to your Mars, and that can be kind of a hard time. That will be for the next 6 months or so, so it's not a hurry. That you may feel some restrictions on what you think you want to do, but if it's Saturn that's pushing you, it's asking you to grow up and to work on delayed gratification, but doing the background work, so it looks like things aren't going ahead, but actually when you stop and do more background work, it will go ahead even better than you think now.
Okay.
If that's just the Saturn aspect. But there's some other aspects that are bugging you at the same time. So I won't think it's just that.
Well, it's
And what's your first response?
I kind of noticed that, you know, she's got a lot of stuff in Earth. So when Saturn goes into an air sign out of Earth, there's an expectation that there's a relief that should be there. And there is, because he's not. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't really been actually doing anything to your Virgo planets for a little while. You had that more like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
In the fall of last, you know, fall of 2007. So this year, you know, when Saturn goes into a new sign, your chart always has a little, the first couple degrees up until about age 5, age 6, you know, you've got a lot of planets at low degrees. So what's happening is Saturn's actually kind of talking to all the planets at early degrees. And mm-hmm. when I see that, I'm like, oh, okay, so he's saying to you, okay, what do we need to change around the house? What do we need to change around the emotions? What do we need to change about our definition of love? And the other thing that happened is, Mars went over your Venus, and he's in Leo right now, and he's going to be in Leo for a while. So where, you know, where your Mars in Libra normally likes to be very polite and kind and mellow, and you're not, you don't really think of yourself as having a temper.
Well, I did the other day.
You did, yeah. Right now, it's
yes,
happening.
I did the other day.
You're really mad
on the 20th. Yes, it is.
And Mars,
the
Mars
whole idea.
Is also
yeah, you're having Mars, baby.
Yeah, I did, and it came out of nowhere.
It didn't come out of nowhere. It's been building for a while, but that's the whole thing with Mars is like you kind of don't think of yourself as a mad yelling kind of person.
No.
And right now, Mars is saying to you, you don't think you can yell? Let me show you.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is say, okay, so like what was that about? And then sit down with yourself when Mars comes out, because what he's going to be doing over this next, and we're talking 6 months here, he's in Leo until next summer. And you normally, Mars and Libra, you normally swallow and you don't actually say what you want very, you know, it's hard for you to say sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be nice and have everybody like you. And that's okay, except right now Mars is kind of saying to you, no, and so you kind of have to figure out a new way to work it. So what you want to do is when the temper flares, because it is going to flare quite a bit, is listen to it flare and go, ooh, who knew I could get so mad? And then kind of watch it and see what it's mad at, okay?
I think it affected a relationship.
I'm sure it did,
yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Probably needed a little change there. Or it needed to be stirred up a little.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mars is and it's semi-sextiling your Sun and Pluto.
Yeah.
So there's a tendency for you, you know, again, we go back to that first year when your progressed Sun conjunct Pluto, and, you know, you mentioned that you were adopted. But there's some issues that you just don't feel that it's safe for you to show your power and say what you really need in a relationship. Your tendency is to second-guess what other people need and take care of them.
Yeah.
And be too nice.
Yeah.
And you train them that it's okay to be too nice. And even if they're nice people, they may overdo it and take advantage of you.
Well, I think this person is shocked.
And lately you're saying, excuse me, I need to retrain you. But if you can remember that these people that think of it like training a dog rather than having to blow up at them until it gets so mad and wait till you're so furious that it gets dramatic. Otherwise, that, you know, that Mars in Leo will help your Venus in Leo know how to make it turn into melodrama. But if you want to learn how to, you won't feel comfortable with that and keep that up. The Libra in you is too mature and too nice in the long run. So, but we want you to keep learning how to speak up for yourself.
Yeah.
And learning how to negotiate for your needs. And when you just like, hey, I have a right to do this. And you will after this next 6 months of Mars and Leo training, learn how to speak up for yourself. But to do it, you don't need to do it. You can do it tactfully. You don't need to do it melodramatically. And that's what I think you'll be learning over the next 6 months.
But if it feels like you need a little melodrama, recognize that that's part of what, you know, like sometimes your Mars has to get so frustrated that it doesn't know how to do it, so that's why it yells.
Well,
and it's not a bad thing. It's just it's yelling because it's frustrated.
A lot of things come from, honestly, from the outside to me. Mm-hmm. It's created by other people.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds like an excuse, but it really is.
Well, what I would say to you, you know, is I'm always a big one of if it feels like it comes to you from the outside, that means you're not owning the planet.
Okay.
Because it's your planet. And then what happens is if you leave it laying around, kind of like a gun or a mirror, people pick it up and use it.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, that's my planet. But then they use it in a way they want to, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to you saying, you know, that's my Mars, put it down. You know, so when you find people, it feels like it's coming at you. What I would say to you is that means that somehow they got a hold of your planet and you have to figure out how to get it back from them.
Okay.
And then if you think of it that way, then you don't feel like you're getting picked on. It just means, you know, you left it laying around, somebody picked it up and started using it.
Yeah.
And you're like, put my planet down.
Your progressed Mars is at is conjunct Neptune in Scorpio, and Mars will be coming to square your progressed Mars. So this is definitely a life an issue for the next couple of months for you. Learn how to fight in a way that you feel clean about.
Okay.
And so that that it feels fair, honest. You said what you needed to say, and you didn't have to blow anybody out of the water in the process.
Okay.
A lot of people are just feeling, you know, the nastiness and snippiness coming from them is not personal. It's not about you. It's about the mood they're in.
Yeah.
And so they're just going to get really difficult, and you will get your feelings hurt because you would never say that unless you were really hurt.
Yeah.
And so learning how to, you know, call people on and go, did you mean that personally, or are you just spouting off? Oh, you're just spouting off. Okay, when you're through being rude, come talk.
Yeah.
Find a way of handling them without taking it on.
Okay.
But it's not about you. If this relationship that you just, you know, cooked,
mm-hmm.
Is real, and you invite them to meet you on the other side of the argument, you will come through. If they're willing to see you, if you just say, look, I was fed up, I don't want to be treated that way, but I do want to know you, and I do want to find a way of working things out with you. If they're worthy and they're not just trying to find an excuse to be alone,
mm-hmm.
which they might be, because a lot of people just need time alone right now and they don't know how to ask for it gracefully, so they're making other people reject them. But if you can invite them to another place and let them cool off a little bit, a real relationship, something that you have real karma and connection with, will see it through.
Okay.
If you can't occasionally spout off and be a little melodramatic and speak up for yourself, then they're not worth it.
Yeah.
You
really should use the next 6 to 12 months to do a little personal weightlifting, you know, weightlifting of your personality. Build it up. It sets you into a good position to use the Pluto and Capricorn when it sits in a grand trine. It has to get further into Capricorn to do that. It'll form a grand trine with your moon and sun. And what that'll do is allow you to pull together everything that you've built up in this period of time by being more assertive and to really link it in to kind of a PowerPoint within yourself. And that'll be a really good feeling when you can do that.
Yeah.
That's well put.
But not just yet. Right now you're supposed to be cranky.
Okay.
So you just kind of say, I have PMS, leave me alone.
Yeah, just enjoy the crankiness then, huh?
It is, and be comfortable in it, you know. Like, normally that's not how you interact. But right now, you know, you're irritated. And, you know, for whatever reason, if you're irritated, there has to be a reason. Because your chart really tries not to be, tries to be the diplomat, tries to be connected and related and nice. And that's good. I love all that. That's a wonderful thing. And most of the time that works. But right now, Mars on on your Venus is really pushing on you to say, no, no, we want you to pipe up and we want you to say what's going on.
Well, I've been doing that.
Yeah, which is good. Yeah. And they're going, geez, what happened to her? Where'd she go? Who is this person who took over? I have a friend, when I do something different, she'll go, so where'd you come from? Who are you? What'd you do with my friend? You know, you took her away. And you just say, your friend will be back in June. But right now, you got me to deal with. Think of it as that those housewife shows where they swap the housewife out.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's what's happening, you know, except it's happening in your own house.
Yeah.
And you just go, okay, you know. here's me, this new person. So is that good? Does that help?
That helps a lot.
Okay.
It explains a lot.
Yeah. But the Mars is really, it does come as a little flurl of anger. So watch what you get mad at, too.
Yeah.
Because that's often the area that needs to change.
Yeah. No, this was deserved, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. 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 Very cool. Good. So
thank you.
You're very welcome. Take care.
I feel better now.
All right, good. And you want to yell at us?
No.
You can, you know.
No, it's just people have been waiting
for
a long
time.
You
won't take it
first. All right, okay, cool. All right, well, take care.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, and if we have any other callers, the number is 347-215-8881. Repeat, 347-215-8881. We know you're sitting there listening to the show. Don't be afraid. Pick up and call, and you can even ask just a question about Saturn in Libra, or what do we think is going to happen in the stock market, or who do we think is going to win?
And what do you think? You're much better at the economics than I am.
Uh-huh.
I've been keeping an eye on that Saturn-Pluto square and wondering what you thought of it.
Oh, the upcoming Saturn-Pluto square that's happening at the end of middle of November. Well, we're going to have three of them, actually. And
right. Be over the next.
Three of them over the next year. We're going to have part one, which is this January or this November, and then we have part two at the end of January, and then we have part three all the way at the end of August. So
yep.
I think it's actually going to be interesting because it's also setting off. We've got a lot of planets on the moon for the U.S. chart, so I think it's going to set off some interesting stock market adjustments. I'm still very much of the mind that whatever they did, they kind of patched it up, and it isn't really it's floating, but it's not seaworthy. And one big storm,
right.
we're gonna have a big crash. So I'm looking at that Saturn Pluto as being an opportunity to trigger that crash, and that would be the 15th. And the reason I say that is if you think about any of the times Pluto's entered a new sign, he's always he brings up stuff to the surface. And then everybody goes, oh, phew, that's done. And then he goes, no, I'm not quite finished yet. And then he brings up the next round. So when Pluto went into Libra in the 70s, there was an initial burst of divorces. And then everybody went, oh, thank heavens, these women are, they get a job and then they run off and leave you. And then of course, the mid-70s was really when the divorces took off. AIDS epidemic, 84, Rock Hudson has AIDS. Oh, my God, we can get AIDS. And then there's this awareness of it, and then it calms down, and then it gets really big. And then there was this big floral of AIDS deaths where it seemed like everybody was getting AIDS and everybody was going to die.
Pluto and Scorpio really cooked us through that.
Right. And then when Pluto went into Sagittarius, we had the pedophile church scandal where the church is kind
and
of...
The,
right. And the church initially said, no, nothing going on here, leave it alone. And so they, there was an initial flurry, and then people were like, no, we want to know more. And they kept digging. And, then they dug up, and then it seemed like every church had somebody who, was a pedophile. What they'd really done was transfer the stuff all over the place, the priests all over the place. It wasn't as bad as it looked initially, but there was that first part, then there was a pause, then there was the really bad part. And this is Pluto and Capricorn, so this is the government and the corporations. And while the government patched up the corporations by mailing them all this money, it didn't solve the underlying problem. They haven't addressed the underlying issues that caused the problem in the first place, and everybody's back doing the same shit again, excuse my French. So what did we solve? Nothing, And the banks, there was reports on the radio that they're raising the interest rates, hugely on people that had, good credit ratings, and they're whacking them with, 30% interest rates. And it's like, well, how are you going to, people aren't going to borrow money. You're going to live on a cash system. You're just not going to spend anything. And that's not going to be the way to get out of the problem. So it's a real mess. And I do think it's going to get worse. And I think it's going to start getting worse in November. Because in November, people are going to look around and go, I know you're telling me this thing is over. And I know you're trying to get me to spend money. But you just raised my interest rates to 30%. I'm not spending a cent. If I can't afford it, I'm not buying it. And our economy is built on people spending past their means, which they've been doing for years. So breaking it down and stopping it essentially to a dead stop is essentially what they're doing by raising it because, you know, the new credit card bill is going to come into place and they can't raise the rates as fast. You know, they have to give you 6 months notice. So now they're doing it ahead of time. It's like this kind of stuff just isn't going to fly and people are going to get crankier and crankier. And I just think it's not, you know, we've not even begun to see it. We also haven't had the crash yet of the commercial housing or the commercial real estate. And we're also now about to have all the foreclosures from the people that lost their jobs because we haven't gotten new jobs. So the bills are coming and the house payments, and we're getting to the point now where we're going to start running out of money. And then the people that actually bought the house with a job, but then they don't have the job anymore and they can't afford the house payment, they're going to be the ones, you know, losing their houses. So I think
that's when you're in a square splitter.
That's when you're in a square splitter, yeah. So I think we're not anywhere near done. I think it's a much longer, more drawn-out process. It'd be nice it's over, but not.
Right. I don't think it's over either. I was wondering, it seems that it has to go back down and rebuild from the bottom. We can't patch it together. We have to do the rebuilding.
Well, we've never been able to patch it together.
Pluto insists that we really rebuild it.
Right. Hmm? Pluto doesn't believe in patching it together. Pluto says, no, we don't patch, baby. We dig.
No. Die and be reborn.
Right.
Be a phoenix. Dive into the ashes and come back to life. I mean, you saw that. You mentioned Pluto and Scorpio took the whole approach to sexuality down and back again.
Right.
We also and also financial investments. Sagittarius, you mentioned the pedophiles. I also see it as when global warming became, you know, was splattered in our face and we knew that we had to do something, that our relationship to the ecosystem was taken to the edge and back again. And now Saturn and Capricorn feels business, work, structure, finances, politician, systems of authority of all kinds are going to be asked to, you know, again, we didn't lose the entire ecosystem, but the dangers that we are in were thoroughly exposed to us. Whether we learn from Pluto in Sagittarius, we'll see if we can pull how much of the ecosystem we can pull back from the edge of the disaster. What I see with this Pluto in Capricorn, how fast can we react to make the changes and be willing to let it go? One of the things, you know, every astrologer will tell you with a Pluto transit, if you try to avoid the change that it's asking from you, you just get, you know, it gets worse and worse.
It gets worse and worse.
But if you don't, you know, Pluto is a train, taking you on a train into the out of the station. If you hold on to the station, you just get ripped apart.
Right.
So get on that train and ride. And I, you know, that was beautifully put, Anne. I also see Saturn often represents what I see is the conservative approach to politics. Mm-hmm. And while Pluto is squaring Saturn, I see the Republican Party having to go through its own death and rebirth, and you know the power struggles that are coming out between the middle of the road Republicans and the right wing, most conservative conservatives fighting, and the social conservatives versus the fiscal conservatives, they'll be working it out all this time while Saturn squares Pluto, whether they tear each other apart or whether they rebuild something that they think is viable. So I will probably never agree with them. Whether they find something that will be viable to other people will be how well they handle this Saturn-Pluto. Do they do the work, homework of the Saturn-Pluto square, or do they just tear each other apart?
Right. Yeah, and I kind of think with the way Saturn and Pluto are set up, one of the biggies is, you know, it felt like to me waving a flag at the bull when, you know, and they're like, oh, no, that's too big to fail. That's too big to fail. I'm like, you don't go saying that to Pluto, people. That's just like calling Pluto out.
Bell ringing,
you know?
On that one.
Yeah, no, that's calling Pluto out. And he goes, think you're too big to fail? Come on, baby, everything fails. Everything dies.
Right.
You don't want to die. Okay, that's my job. You're here to be died, killed, and reborn. So hopefully not too painfully, but I do think it's going to be kind of a long process. Mark, you got any...
I agree.
2 cents on this? You want to pop in?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we're looking at, in a certain sense, the start of it, because it is true. We just patched things up at this point, and it has to go a lot further. And that's what this whole next set of you know, big events are going to be about. There's the Saturn-Pluto square, but then, you know, that's going to move on to being a T-square with Uranus, and that's when it gets really interesting, which is, what, 27, right? And, you know, we get really a contest then. So I think now, during this first two hits of Saturn square Pluto, it's going to be a lot of sort of doublespeak and, you know, still a lot of attempts to patch things up. And things will be shaking apart at the bottom, but there'll be a lot of covering for it. And I think that the government and the corporations are going to not want to admit that we're far from, you know, being through this. But then by the end of August, when we get the last hit of this, that's when the real, you know, falling apart will happen. And that's likely to be because kind of an emperor's clothes scenario. You know, people that have watched the all the justifications and trying to hold it all together for the first two hits, November and January, are not going to buy it anymore by August. And somebody's just going to stand up and say, you know what, these corporations are naked. We shouldn't listen to them at all. And, all it takes is AIG to keep doing what they've been doing, right? There's going to come a time when people say, that's it. You know, you guys can't just keep taking candy right out from our pockets, right in front of us. Taking candy from a baby is okay when it's a baby. But when you do that to somebody who can speak back, they'll put up with it for a while because they're in shock. But then, they'll call you on it. And that's what's going to come, I think, in August. And from there, you know, then that signals that, okay, we have to dig deeper, take this apart. We have to see something fail, like something too big to fail will fail. And, they won't pull it back together. And then we march on from there to bringing Uranus into the picture. And, of course, when Uranus rolls in, it moves, I think, to a much more onto the popular front. And we'll get much more reaction. And it won't be just in the hands of the government and the corporations. Because right now, it's kind of like the government and corporations are playing out a little scripted thing. You know, they get behind closed doors and they script and say, here, well, people will buy this, right? You know, and so far we have, right? It's like, bailout. Oh, yeah, we got to bail them out. And then we don't hear any more about it. That money's just gone.
Right.
That was a lot of money, wasn't it?
Where'd it go?
Yeah. And then we hear the bonuses are back for all the executives, you know. Well, not all. Some of them actually stepped aside from it. But
one thing, though, I look at the transits we're going through, and I say if we hadn't, if they hadn't treaded water real fast and done some patchwork, we would be feeling this a lot worse than we are already. I think, you know, when I look back historically at aspects and I see them handling now, the change that I see is not any great evolution of consciousness. It's an ability to respond faster than we used to, that we change faster, we adapt faster. We get the information out faster. People know what's going on faster because we just have the number crunching capacity and we have the internet and we have the ability to get information out quickly. And I do think, you know, the thing is, patching up the ship gives the false illusion that we're okay again. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to put on the flotation device long enough so we don't sink so we can totally renovate. But I'm seeing people doing just what you said, Mark. You know, they patch it up. They're not in dire straits, you know, with a gun to their head this very minute. So the bonuses are coming back, and people are going same old, same old. And it will have to go down and come back up if we don't learn quickly.
Mm-hmm. So the smart thing right now is, make sure you got your life preserver and your... Mm-hmm. Be ready to swim, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And be willing,
if you want to,
you know,
if you want to mess around
with the market, not to underestimate the work that's going on.
Yeah, if you want to mess around with the markets, you can do that, but you have to employ a very, you know, quick-shifting strategy. You know, don't like, there's a lot of talk around now, like, oh, the markets are all coming back. You better get in now because you'll miss out otherwise.
Right.
And I don't agree with that at all. You know, I really don't. I think, you know, play it. Figure it's real risky and play a risk strategy, and that's totally okay. But don't think you're buying into something that's just going to now go ahead and steadily climb back up.
No, because it has to collapse.
Exactly.
It hasn't collapsed yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got
and there's a way to make money at that, if you know how to do it.
Well,
there's,
I mean, some
people
can make money. You know, there were people that made a lot of money, you know, selling all different kinds of things when stuff collapsed. It's you know, you can make money. It's not that you can't, but the traditional buy and hold it and sit in it. But the other part of it is if you don't know what you're doing, you can lose your shirt. And because that's the whole part, is when it starts to go, it's going to go really quickly. And, you know, and it can go from a number of things. You know, nobody's buying the dollar anymore. You know, a lot of the foreign currencies aren't picking up our money. So we can, you know, we can't lower the interest rate any lower because it's already zero. You know, they're charging 30% and they're making this much, all this interest on the money that they're holding and parking in the bank. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on that isn't actually illegal, but isn't really kosher. So it's comparable to, you know, to hiding those records about the priests. It's like, well, we know it's happening, but we're not going to tell you guys. And to me, that is, you know, it's like, okay, well, where's this? And the other part of it is the government on some level is complicit in it. So unlike where we had all of the investigations when the Resolution Trust Company fell and people like Charles Keating went to jail, here the government's actually engineering the bailouts and determining who lives and dies. So who are you going to go to? Because the government used to be the one that actually did the work and prevented this kind of stuff from happening, and now they're actually facilitating it. They're saying, okay, here, have a whole pile of money, and, oh, you know, don't be bad boys anymore. Don't go doing that gambling thing, and, oh, let's close our eyes, and, oh, you're gambling again, you're giving yourself bonuses. It's like, you know, we're not handling it in an appropriate manner, which makes me kind of go, oh, don't go getting Pluto this mad. You know, I think of him as a mean guy when he's mad, and we don't want to get Pluto mad. We want Pluto to be happy. The other part of it is there's a composting that's necessary. When things get too decayed or too corrupt, either way, decayed or corrupt, whatever you want, there's a need to pull back the light and let the light shine. And we need to go looking at what happened here. This money didn't just disappear. It went someplace. It's in somebody's pockets. Who's got the money? It doesn't just vanish. It goes someplace, you know. So that's the other part that nobody's talking about. Like, it doesn't just – it's energy. It's like a piece of paper. It doesn't just go poof, disappear from your account. It went somewhere. Who's got it? You know, and if we all could go watch It's a Wonderful Life and see the Harry Potter movie, or, you know, when Potter tries to steal the bank, you know, that's what we're having here, you know. It's like, no, no, no. You might make short-term goals, but – if everybody's starving and hungry, you know, it's not that big a country that we're not going to find you and, you know, kind of say, okay, give me the money that you have there that's mine. So I just think it's going to be a real interesting times. And I kind of look at it and go, well, we all incarnated for a reason in this time, and I guess we're supposed to help people through it. So that's at least what I'm looking at as my role. So I don't know. Speaking of which, we had an idea, because we still don't have a caller. Are you people out there? Are you listening? Please call us. Actually, no, we only have 6 minutes left. We were going to talk about the kind of work we do. And we were going to do it a couple weeks ago, and then we ran out of time. So why don't we do it now? Heather, what kind of work do you do? What kind of clients do you like to work with?
I like to work with relationships. That's relationships to your spouse, to your friend, to your own inner artistic soul, to your spiritual path. I'm an interfaith minister, so I also take work with people and their chart and their spiritual path, what they feel called to do, what their karmic path is. I've worked with family therapists who've overseen my work, so I go back in to several generations of charts if that is what is called for in this time in a person's life and look at the patterns that happened in their family of origin and how they might be acting it out with their spouse or their boss or their best friend, and how we can re-envision those patterns. So relationships, spiritual patterns are my forte.
Cool. And Mark, what do you
and,
oh, okay. No, you're not done. Sorry.
Mark, go ahead.
Yeah. I work a lot with life path, the whole sense of a calling, why we're here, what it is you're meant to be doing, and how you're set up to do that, what your talents are, what your obstacles are, and how far along you are, and what are your next steps. And I do that by working very much with yoga along with astrology. And you want to understand that yoga basically is a mental discipline. And so I work a lot with the connection of mind and body and spirit and how that works in our lives. Because so much of the time, if we can see what our mental patterns are, we know why they're playing out the way they are physically around us, in relationships around us, in jobs, everything really that we're doing goes back to mental patterns. And we get really good clues about what those are just by looking in the chart and seeing the pattern of planets and stars. That gives us a clue of how the emotional and mental patterns are within you and then how that plays out. So that's what I do.
Cool. And I like to fix things. I'm a Virgo. And when I learned astrology, my first part of learning it was recovering from a 14-year relationship that ended. And then about a year into, you know, because you're like crawling around on the ground crying and stuff. And then it's like, oh, cycles, patterns, things end. Oh, wow, end of this. Okay, all right, got it. And then about a year into astrology, I was like, this is like so cool. Why don't they teach this in first grade? We should all know our chart. We should all know, oh, you're having a Saturn cycle. Oh, that means da, 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 da. So you at least have some kind of clue. And then I was aware of how sometimes astrology can be kind of fatalistic, you know, like that, you know, oh, you have an afflicted Venus, so you're stuck with it forever and you're going to,
yeah.
And I kind of thought, you know, maybe we need, like, helpful astrology, you know. So I kind of think of myself as a helpful astrologer, meaning I can certainly look at your afflicted Venus and say to you, yeah, your Venus is afflicted, you got a problem with it, and you know, that's going to affect these areas. But let's talk about other ways you can use that energy. So that, because there's a whole realm of spectrum of energy ways to be used. Let's talk about other options so that you can use the energy in other ways so that the affliction actually is like used up and then it doesn't play out in your relationships or it shows up in a different way. So I kind of think of myself as a tinkerer where, you know, we'll talk about how the energy shows up, what it feels like, what you want to do with it, and then the higher or lower forms of it. And usually if a person's been around a little bit, they've lived through, you know, they have a big Neptune aspect, they've had a little addiction, they've had a period of depression. But let's come up with other ways to use that Neptune. Let's make sure they dance every day or they sing every day or they art every day. They create something. And so I kind of do fix-it astrology, which works with my Virgo sun. Like, okay, there's all these different ways it can show up. Let's come up with a new way that makes you happy. Or that works a little better than the one you're doing now, which you're unhappy with. So that's kind of, and I'm a cheerleader. I'm rah-rah, sis, boom, you know, like, you can do it. So it's a combination of a cheerleader and a fixer. That's what I think of myself as. But you, of course, have the opportunity to do the fixing. All I can do is point out where it could be fixed. So you get to decide if you actually want to fix it. But, you know, there's also options that work and options that don't. And sometimes people are like, I don't want to do that. It's like, okay, you don't have to. You know, it's your life. But learning how to live with your own blueprint and knowing all the choices that you actually really have instead of I only can have vanilla ice cream. There is a bazillion kinds of ice cream. So that's kind of the way I do it. So we're getting towards the back end of the show. And so we'll close now. So reminding you that we have the full moon today. We have that lovely Neptune station, which wants you to get in touch with your soul. On a bad day, it's going to make you tired or make you feel like you need to sleep or make you extra sensitive and emotional. And then on Friday, Venus goes into Scorpio, and then in the middle of the week, Mercury joins with the Sun, so you're going to think you're right, and everybody else is going to think they're right. So nobody's right. Just kind of say, okay, let's go sit in our corners. So this is Ann Ortley saying so long, farewell, and I'm joined by
Heather Rowan Robbins from North Dakota.
And Mark Wolf.
Wonderful.
In New York.
Yay. So we'll talk to you guys all next week. Have a great week. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Take care. Goodbye.